I'd like to welcome everybody for tonight's service. It's a very special night of worship, praise, and glorifying God. Tonight we will reflect back to an event that happened over 2,000 years ago, the physical birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. But first, please join me in going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather here in your house to give you great praise. Lord, we know that if not for your immeasurable love for us, that we would all truly be lost. It is your perfect plan of salvation for us that gives us the opportunity to spend eternity full of joy and happiness, to spend eternity in fellowship and glorifying you, free from the torment of the presence of sin. This was only possible by grace, your grace, Lord, that we are saved, for we cannot save ourselves. I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit fills us with a joy and directs us to a closer walk with you, that tonight might bring us all blessings of a better understanding of your word and a closer relationship with you. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. For our first song of this evening, please open your hymnals to hymn 285, O Holy Night. And when you get there, please stand.
Pain, all oppression shall cease.
be seated. Now, the center point of today's message is indeed, as it is every Christmas Eve, on the birth of Christ. However, this event, as special as it is a moment in the middle of our history with our Lord. We currently are quickly approaching the tail end of the church age. And when we look at prophecies, we look at many, many prophecies that have been fulfilled, but not all prophecies have been. We still have the rapture, tribulation, millennial kingdom, Christ's return. I would implore all of you that if you have not made yourself ready for these events, make yourself so. With every story, however, it is best to start at the beginning. The beginning is the need of a Savior. In the book of Genesis, we read about the fall of man when sin entered the world through the treachery, temptation, and deceiving of Satan. God addresses this in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis in verse 15 when he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The emphasis here is on the seed of the woman. This is not how normal conception works. It is always the seed of a man, not a woman, which brings us to the first prophecy of the virgin birth. God knew right from the start that we were unable to face the enemy and the threat of sin alone. We needed a Savior. The prophecies concerning this throughout the Old Testament are many, and typically the book of Isaiah is quoted, and with good reason, because it has many, many prophetic details. God's promise concerning the Savior can be found throughout the Bible. I want to take a few. In Jeremiah 31, verse 22, it says, "For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man," indicating yet again the virgin birth. And when we look to the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, that reads, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." We must keep in mind that the angels, saints, and God, all of us, will live for future eternity. Future eternity. But it is God alone who has lived in eternity past. No one else. He is the only one. He is the only one from everlasting. The God, the angels, and all of us have been created. All things were created by God. It is God who took the form of human flesh. And finally, getting into the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, it reads, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The name Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and this is prophecy. This happened well before Jesus was born. It is a foretelling. But let's go to our next hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," number 250.
Bye.
seated. Our Lord Emmanuel, God with us. So what we have learned and covered so far is that God knew that mankind was in need of a Savior from the very start. That God's perfect plan of salvation was in place from the beginning. Why did God's plan of salvation take thousands of years? Why did it take thousands of years prior to the fleshly birth of the Son of God? The answer is not that God had to prepare himself, but God had to prepare the human race. The human race needed to learn, grow, and develop that relationship with him. We needed the understanding that we cannot, nor ever could, save ourselves. The sin barrier that kept everyone from being with God needed to be removed. And it could only be removed by the penalty of sin being paid for. During the time of the birth of Christ, the Old Testament canon had been written and established, and it had been established for hundreds of years. The people during that time period had seen, documented, studied prophecies that were fulfilled. And they studied prophecies that had yet to be fulfilled at that time, which had since been fulfilled, prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. Now, the prophecies we just read were available to them, but presently we have the Old Testament and New Testament canons established for many generations and have studied the prophecies both fulfilled and promises of God, such as the rapture, tribulation, and return of Christ as King. Now, many know and understand or understood what was happening then during the time of the birth of Christ. And there are many who know what is currently happening now. History does repeat itself. People prior to his birth were very complacent. Some knew what was going on, but some didn't. Those who did understand the significance of Christ's birth rejoiced greatly, while many more were left wondering, what child is this? Who is he? And that leads us to our next song. What child is this? That gives the question as well as the answer. Page 281. When you've turned there, please stand up, if you can.
This.
seated, please. Well, I must say that as imperfect as tonight is going, it is still a perfect and glorious and wonderful night with our Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. So the birth of Christ happened. It didn't matter who was ready for it. It didn't matter who believed or didn't believe that this event was going to happen at all or within their lifetime. It happened, ready or not. When it comes to the prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, God tells you that you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared and ready. And he's saying you need to, not some future generation. We need to study the scriptures so that you may know the truth. Study also recent world events, history. Know what's going on in your world right now. Things that were written 2,500 years ago are currently taking place. When we look at our next song, Joy to the World, there have been many that suggest that it's not only a very fitting song for Christmas, as we have traditionally sang it, but if you, while we're singing it, pay attention to the words that you're singing, because the study of the scripture and knowing that Christ will be returning and returning as King, as our King, these words apply to his coming back. So let's turn, if we dare, to hymn 270. And please join me in giving this hymn a try. Okay. Some scripture in the Old Testament, and I would like to now direct our attention to the New Testament, in which we are going to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And the angel, well, I didn't give you the verses, chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. So here we are again studying prophecy, the birth of Jesus, as well as Christ's eternal reign. I would like to encourage all of you to go through and read the entire first chapter of Luke. It's only a few pages long. And in this chapter, you will read about the prophecies given from the messenger angel Gabriel to Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, as well as Mary's cousin Elizabeth, and to Mary herself. What do you suppose was going through Mary's mind while the angel Gabriel was talking to her? How wonderful and how frightening. Gary and Joyce have prepared a song for us this evening. I would invite them to come forward right now. It's a very, very special song called Mary, Did You Know? You know, if we were to look at imperfections in people, well, you just, for me at least, all I have to do is look in the mirror. Right off the bat for this morning service, I forgot to give you certain announcements. So I'm going to do that now, just because they are fairly important. This past Sunday, the announcement was that Perry Jones was going to not be able to make it for this upcoming Sunday, and there was a possibility of having another gentleman who has never been to this church, and I needed to call him and work things out, and I did call him. He's a wonderful person. His name is Pastor Greg Belcher, and he will be coming in to give this give the message this upcoming Sunday. And for the other announcements, we have our Afterglow service on the 12th at 6 o'clock. And this Sunday, the 29th, there's going to be a hymn sing at Hancock Bible Baptist, and that is Chuck Mosier's church, and all are welcome, and I'd like for us to be able to attend if we can. And just as an honorable mention, because it doesn't happen very often, but tomorrow is not only Christmas Day, it's also Hanukkah. That doesn't happen too often. And although I personally don't celebrate Hanukkah, it is an important event in the lives of the Israel people. And tomorrow, not only will many Christians be glorifying God, but so will many people of Israel be glorifying God as well. So there'll be an abundance of people glorifying God, and that is significant. So now back to the message. And I apologize for not starting off with the announcements. So when we turn to the book of Matthew to read how the message was revealed to Joseph, the husband of Mary, in chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, we read, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now in verse 21, the purpose is spelled out plain as day. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus was and is the only one who is or ever was capable of being our Savior. The only one who is perfect, sinless, and eternal. No angel, beast, or man could do it. God is the only one. No prophet or priest, no apostle or disciple, no sinner or saint could do it. Only the great I am. There is no one capable of paying the death penalty of sin. Not for all of mankind, not for us. None other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If he, Emmanuel, God with us, was not born in the flesh, then he couldn't die in the flesh. And our sins would not be paid for. If that were to happen, that would mean an eternity of paying the sin penalty ourselves. And granted, it's a penalty that we deserve. It would mean an eternity of pain and suffering for everyone who has ever lived. Praise God that he loves us so much that he would never allow that. For Christ was born and took our place on the cross in the flesh, that we may accept the free gift of salvation that is offered. And sadly, there's a multitude of those who will reject that gift and who will reject him. For them, the destiny of paying the eternal price remains, as if the Lord himself had not paid for that price. See, Christ did pay for everyone, but it's only those who will accept him that will receive that gift. Now, you know, I can offer you this pen. It's a gift to you. It's bought and paid for. You have nothing to do with this pen, and it can be yours if I hand it out to you and you reach out and take it. But if you don't reach out and take it, this could never, ever be your pen. Still paid for. Still bought. Salvation is yours. meaning everyone's. Everyone's to accept or to reject. But the price has already been paid for everyone. In the book of Romans, we learn that the wages of sin is death. What did Christ pay? Jesus paid that price and washed us clean with his blood. All who have reached out to him, repented and asked forgiveness, and declared that Christ is the Son of God, those who have done that have accepted him and accepted that free gift. If you have not, what are you waiting for? Let's turn back to the book of Luke. We are going to go forward to his actual birth, that we read in chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, where the angels of the Lord proclaim his birth to the shepherds. And it reads, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, the messenger angel Gabriel was evidently very, very busy during this time, as were all the angels, glorifying God, praising him with tremendous enthusiasm. They knew and fully understood what had transpired. They were in awe of the glory of God, as we all should be. A Savior was just born. The shepherds listened and witnessed all that the angels were saying and what the angels were doing. And that brings us to our next hymn of the evening, hymn 277, Hark the Angels Sing. For all who would like to stand, you may. If not, you may remain seated.
Joyful are ye,
be seated. So let's continue reading in the book of Luke, chapter 2, picking back up with verses 15 through 20, which it reads, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." What a great and wondrous time for these shepherds, for all these things to be revealed to them. Multitude of angels and the messenger angel giving them this information. And then to go and witness the Son of God, the newborn King. Then they went out and spread the word, much like the apostles and disciples would soon go out and spread the gospel of Christ. They would share these messages that they had heard from the angels. I can't help but think how wonderfully blessed they were during that time. And I guess that brings us to our next hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High, number 278. Chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, which reads, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, They presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I brought with me a few show-and-tell items tonight. Some myrrh and some frankincense resin, and also some oil that has been made from both, and it has a very, very pleasing smell or aroma, or many of us think so. Some of us don't like it, but that's okay. So after service, you are more than welcome to check it out. These things have been used for medicinal purposes, for anointing, and also for burial practices. A little bit foretelling that these gifts that they brought were used for that. And although I didn't put it into my notes for this evening, I also like to mention the cloth, the swaddling cloth that baby Jesus was wrapped in. It's the same type of cloth that they also used for burials. Again, our Lord was born in the flesh for the purpose of dying in the flesh for us, because he loved us. He loves us so much. Take our place. He was our only answer. So these, along with gold, were very expensive gifts, but I should point out some misinterpretations that many people have presented as facts. Even the song, We Three Kings. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel afar. Well, verse 12 says they departed into their own country another way, so they are definitely from out of town. And the scripture does say that they were from the east. It doesn't say how far east, but it does say that they were from the east. So we don't know how long their journey actually was, but I'm sure it was quite a journey. And it doesn't say how long it took them. All that is nothing more than speculation. And if they were kings, the Bible certainly doesn't say so. And how many? The Bible doesn't say that either. So if you want to know the truth about God's word, it's best to go there yourself and study it yourself. Get the truth. It's in the Bible. Don't rely on human traditions or hearsay. Speaking of traditions, you know, it's been a rather popular thing within the country for families to gather together and read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But you know, the first chapter of the book of Luke, as well as the first chapter of Matthew, isn't very long. Probably take you about the same amount of time to read those. And I would think that people would find it to be a little bit more inspiring and more profitable to you and your family rather than reading a piece of fiction. Or, you know, if you want to go even a little bit further and go into the second chapter and complete the story of the birth of Christ, you could always do that in both Matthew and Luke, and God would be glorified for it, and you would profit. Now, the day of the birth of Christ, chapter 2, verse 6, reads, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And although heaven was rejoicing, the angels were praising God and giving word and prophecy to many, the shepherds were busy here in Bethlehem. A young family was privately enjoying God's blessings with peace and comfort. That night, the three of them could enjoy a nice, quiet night, a special night, a holy night. For our last hymn of this evening will be By Candlelight. Silent Night can be found in your hymnals, 253.
Always bright, round.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you watch over all those who have gathered in your name. Keep them safe and happy. I ask, Lord, that their hearts are full of joy and love for you and each other, and as they spend time together in celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, time spending giving to you all the glory and thanksgiving for a special love that you have given us all, the offering, that very special gift, the gift of salvation. I pray, Father, that everyone here is filled with the Holy Spirit and is pulled closer towards a close relationship with you, Lord, that they are aware of the promises to come, that they learn and grow and look forward to your return. Look forward with excitement and anticipation. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.